Welcome to the 21st. I'm Brian Mackey. As America continues grappling with the police killings of George Floyd, Breonna Taylor, and many other black men and women, protests have continued in some cities. In others, attention is beginning to turn to what comes next, what laws need to be passed, or whether, as some activists are urging, police departments should be defunded, with the money going toward things like housing and mental health programs. Later in the program, we'll talk about that and more with two experts on police community relations, a professor of criminal justice sciences at Illinois State University and the head of the Police Training Institute at the University of Illinois. But first, another perspective on Floyd's murder.
I was saddened. I was troubled, but I was not surprised.
Teresa Haley is president of both the Illinois State Conference and the Springfield branch of the NAACP. It's a volunteer position. She works during the day, so I caught up with her yesterday evening.
Is this still a good time?
Yeah, it's good.
Great.
Yeah, we're good.
We began by talking about an agreement 2 years ago between the NAACP and the Illinois Association of Chiefs of Police. It's called the 10 Principles.
It's about building trust between the Black community and the police departments throughout the state of Illinois and even throughout the country. It's about valuing diversity, understanding that although we're different, we're still alike. When we bleed, you cut us, our blood is red. When we cry, our tears are clear. It's about making sure that police officers are trained on de-escalation. It's about making sure that Black and Brown communities accept and respect our police officers. Again, we all believe that police officers are supposed to serve and protect and not hurt and harm, but we're not seeing that play out over and over. But I honestly believe in my heart that with the 10 principles, we have seen a lot of improvements because it opens a dialogue. It's a room for conversation. Now, we know that racism is still well and alive in the U.S. today. But it's an open opportunity for us to sit together and to talk about our beliefs, our disbeliefs, and our fears.
In your view, do you think that the police are holding up their end of the bargain?
I believe that the majority of the police officers are holding up their end of the bargain. You know, like any community, any family, even our own, you're going to have a few bad apples. And I believe in this situation, we have a few bad apples. But when we have those bad apples, we need to throw them out. We need to charge them like we would an average citizen if they were to commit that same crime.
You know, I'm interested in what you had to say a moment ago about the way police conduct themselves, because later in the program, we're going to be talking to the director of one of the institutions that trains police officers in Illinois. And I wonder if you think the repeated killings of Black men and women by police, is that a failure of training or policy, or is there something else going on?
I think it's a failure of training. I think it's a failure of policy. I think police officers know that they have unions, and I strongly believe in serving unions. As a matter of fact, I'm a union member, but I think there comes a time when someone has done wrong that we should fire them, let them go, and fight to get their job back. Because if we who work in state government and other agencies, if we were to commit that same crime, that we would lose our jobs and then our union stewards would have to fight for us to get our jobs back. But dealing with police unions, they get to keep their jobs. Some of them get moved from off the streets to desk duty. They get reassigned, so to speak, and they continue to get paid while under investigation. Had it been myself or someone who works for public sector or state government, we lose those jobs and we have to hire attorneys and go through a long list of things to get our job back. So I think there needs to be equal discipline and treatment when it comes to police officers. They hide behind the shield and they know that they have that protection even when they're done wrong. And this is clear. I mean, everybody, even a blind man could see that this is a clear-cut case. But will it be ruled that way? We don't know because it hasn't been ruled that way in the past.
You know, I obviously the killing of George Floyd has led to a broad range of protests across the country, across Illinois, not just in Chicago and St. Louis, but also in Springfield and Bloomington-Normal and Champaign-Urbana and Peoria and DeKalb and many other cities. And I wonder, how do you think the media, broadly speaking, has done covering the protests of the last week in particular, and the issue, the broader issue of what's been referred to as Black Death more generally?
I think the media has done a great job with bringing it to everybody's attention, because as long as it doesn't happen in your backyard, most people don't pay attention to this. And the fact that the media is keeping it out in the forefront, I think they've done a very good job. Now, I believe in protest. I think protest is a good thing. The NAACP has been protesting and having rallies and marches for 100 years. You know, the 1908 race riots right here in Springfield, Illinois, led to the establishment of the NAACP because someone lied and two men lost their lives. This community pretty much burned down. The National Guard was called in to patrol the community. I believe in peaceful protest. I believe that protest is a great start to getting our local government, our county government, our state government, and our national government to listen. But I also believe that it's going to take more than protest. It's going to take us working with our legislators. And if they don't have the same values and beliefs that we do, especially people who are out there protesting, then it's time to vote them out of office and to put people in with like-minded values and beliefs. This is America. This is a land of freedom and opportunity. This is the melting pot. Everybody in America deserves to live and be treated with respect. But when it comes to Black men and Black women, we see disrespect over and over and over, and it's gone on for generations.
You know, you mentioned that you supported protest, and some of the protest has had violent elements, and based on our reporting on the show, we've talked to reporters who say it often seems like there are many hundreds, if not thousands, of people who show up for a peaceful protest, and then sometimes a separate element comes in to sort of take advantage of the situation, often later on in the day. And I wonder if you have a response to how that has been covered. You know, some media outlets sensationalize some of the more destructive elements. I mean, what do you think about what's been happening there?
Well, that's definitely true. I believe that the protests that we've had here in Springfield have been peaceful. It's outside influences that come in. There are people who go from town to town, from state to state, to tear up our communities. Look what happened in downtown Chicago with all of the looting. There were 3 days of peaceful protesting. Then folks decided to act crazy. The same thing here in Springfield, starting with, you know, Friday there was protesting, Saturday there was protesting, on Sunday there were a parade of cars protesting in a peaceful manner. But Sunday night, people from out of town came to our community being destructive, determined to tear up our community, and then they went on to St. Louis and did the same thing. So that is not what the NAACP is all about. We're about peaceful protesting, and everybody deserves to be heard. Everybody has a voice. We may not agree with it, but it's a voice that needs to be heard. But there's a lot of disrespect that goes on when people are trying to hold peaceful protesting. You know, you get people in who don't believe in you, don't believe in what you have to say or what the vision is, and they don't catch the vision, so to speak. So therefore, they're going to try to be destructive, and they're going to try to tear down everything that you meant for good to make it bad.
If you're just joining us, you're listening to The 21st. I'm Brian Mackey. We're speaking with Teresa Haley, president of the Illinois State Conference and the Springfield branch of the NAACP. You mentioned that laws need to change. I'm wondering if you can talk a little bit about what some of the laws are specifically that you would like to see enacted. Are they state laws, federal laws, to address some of these issues?
I think it would be a combination of both. When you're dealing with state laws, you know, we talked about community policing in our communities and what does that look like? And we talked about police officers in terms of the peace officers bill. We reestablished language at our conventions in terms of the national convention for the NAACP and state and local. In terms of developing these laws, we need to make sure that these bills that we present have teeth in them to say if someone treats someone disrespectfully, that they are held accountable just like a regular citizen would be held accountable. Police unions are strong again. Somehow we have to begin to not necessarily break them up, but to embrace change as well. When police officers are fired for what they've done and put on do not hire list for their bad behavior, such as murder and the first and second degree and not the third and fourth degree, then they will take this a lot more seriously in how they respond to the killing of Black people, especially Black men in America.
I keep returning to this comment made by a Chicago Tribune columnist over the weekend that between the pandemic, the recession, and the outrage over police killings, it feels like we're living through 1918, 1929, and 1968 all at once. And I wonder if you can talk about the intersection of these calamities and particularly how they've affected Black communities.
Well, Black communities have had to rebuild after every pandemic that's taken place in the United States. Black communities have had to rebuild after every race riot that has taken place throughout the country. I mean, you go back just 30 years with Rodney King, and then you go to Ferguson, and now you look at where we are with the Minnesota situation. It continues to repeat itself. So it's time out for repeating itself, but it's time to change, America. It's time for us to take this to the next level and for all of us to walk hand in hand and say enough is enough. You know, that song says we shall overcome someday. We should overcome today. We should have overcome yesterday. So it's time for us to be more aggressive. It's time for us to be more involved in politics. And if our politicians aren't doing what they need to be doing, it's time for us to vote them out. But some of the things that we need to make sure that we're doing in all of our communities, especially the Black community, is to make sure that we're completing that 2020 census. We need to know that the money that comes to our communities from the 2020 census, if we're not counted, then we can't complain. Because we're talking about our schools, we're talking about our hospitals, other forms of medical care and other services that come to our communities. So we have to make sure, one, that we're completing the 2020 census so that funds can come back to our communities for the next 10 years. And yes, it's okay to be counted. You can't say, I don't want the federal government to know where I live. If you got a stimulus check, they already know where you live. So I am encouraging you to please complete your 2020 census. The other thing that we have to do in the communities, especially the Black community, is to register to vote. Quit saying my vote doesn't count. Your vote counts just like your life counts. And that's why people are out here marching and protesting. So you have a right to be heard. But when it comes to the election, we need for you to show up on election day and exercise that voice, exercise that right to show them that, yes, your voice counts, and yes, you will be counted on election day. We need for you to go back to your communities, to attend city council meetings, to attend school board meetings. And when you see something that's not right, say something. Challenge them on the laws that exist. Challenge them to develop new laws. Write your own legislation, write your own bills, connect with a senator or state rep who will carry that bill for you. And if they don't, vote them out and run for office yourself.
Last question I want to ask you, and if it's not too personal, I wonder, I mean, you're still going to work every day. How do you handle your emotions related to another police murder of a Black man or woman?
I pray. I say, Lord, help us. What is this world coming to? And I trust that God is helping us. And I trust that God is listening. But I also trust that God is letting us go through some things so we can get to some things. Sometimes we put blockage and barriers in our own way. And we allow man to put things in our own way. So I just trust God that he is going to bring us through it. But God gave us common sense. God gave us the necessary tools that we need to be successful. And we need to act on those tools, and we need to do everything as a people to come together to make a difference so everyone has a right to live safe, be healthy, and to be proud to be an American and live in the United States of America.
Teresa Haley is president of the Illinois State Conference and the Springfield branch of the NAACP. Teresa, thank you so much for speaking with us on the 21st.
Thank you so much, Brian, for having me. I appreciated the conversation.
Coming up after the break, as the protests continue over the police killing of George Floyd, we talk to the head of a police academy and a criminal justice expert about how and why law enforcement needs to change. That's coming up after a break. This is the 21st. Stay with us.